God is here and he knows what is best for us. And this may be the day that God would do the impossible in your life.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Sin causes great harm to the human body, soul, and spirit. Uncontrolled and destructive habits, broken relationships, heartbreak after heartbreak. But Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This evening, we will hear a message from Elder Dr. Raphael Thomas, where he will show from Scripture how Jesus is indeed the healer, the hope of the hopeless. Here now is Dr. Thomas with the first part of Let Jesus Fix It For You.
This morning, I would like to draw your attention to the passage which was read earlier. St. Luke chapter 13, 10 to 17. I'll only read from 10 to 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This is the word of the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer, please? Almighty God, once again, the cry of our hearts is that you will bless your words unto our hearts and glorify your name. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ now over the proclamation of your word. We pray, Father, that you will remove every hindrance and every opposition, either to the proclamation or the reception of your word. We pray for fresh anointing upon both preacher and listeners alike. And we pray that in everything the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will have preeminence, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Here in this passage, we find Jesus ministering in the synagogue. But on his earthly ministry, Jesus' ministry was not confined to the synagogue. We saw him ministering by the sea. We saw Jesus ministering on the streets. We saw him ministering even to someone in a sycamore tree. We find Jesus ministering at the sepulchre. Wherever you are this morning, my friend, Jesus is there. You may be here seated in church. You may be in your sofa at home. But God is here. And he is here to bless us. Let us take a look at the story recorded in Luke chapter 13. Here we find Jesus in the synagogue. And the Bible goes on immediately to tell us that in the synagogue, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, this is a woman who has been suffering for 18 years. Quite likely, there were the teachers seated in the synagogue. There were other persons, regular visitors, in the synagogue, all kinds of persons in the synagogue. But the writer focuses this passage on a woman who was in need. Somehow it seems to me that Jesus' attention is drawn to those who are in need. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, the Bible tells us he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to help them that are tempted. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer, and he can identify with your suffering. And this morning, my friend, as you face the struggles and the trials of your life, I want you to remember that Jesus can fix it for you, regardless of the nature of your problem. And I specifically want to speak to somebody this morning who is facing what seems like insurmountable problem. It seems like you are faced with a river that you cannot cross. You are before that mountain that you cannot tunnel through. It seems like you are facing an impossible situation. But I want to remind you that Jesus specializes in those cases. For he can do what no other one can do. Jesus can fix it for you. Somebody says he's the all-time undefeated, undisputed champion of God. As we look at this woman in the synagogue, it didn't tell us her name. It didn't tell us if she was a regular visitor. It didn't tell us much about her, but it explained to us that she was suffering for 18 years. Let's look at the seriousness of the woman's affliction. We see in verse 11, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. The woman was bent over. It is one thing to be bent over, but it is another thing to be bent over for 18 years. I don't know what state the woman was in emotionally. I don't know what was passing through her mind. Maybe she came to the synagogue that day anticipating that God would minister to her need. Or maybe she resigned herself to her condition and said, things are so bad, I might as well live with it. I might as well learn to cope with it. But God met her and God transformed her life in just a moment. This morning, as we listen to the word of the Lord, God is here and he knows what is best for us. And this may be the day that God would do the impossible in your life and bring about great change. She was bent over physically. But this morning, your case may not be that you are bent over physically. It may be that you are bent over emotionally. According to the World Health Organization, one in every 13 person globally suffers from depression. It says that depression is the greatest cause of disability globally. You may be brokenhearted this morning. You may be bent over emotionally. You may have been wounded, but Jesus is able to heal the brokenhearted. Psalm 38:6 says, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. But Jesus sees your heart and he knows what you are going through. It may be physical, emotional, or this morning, it may be spiritual. The greatest problem that mankind faces is a spiritual problem, a broken relationship with God. But God can fix it for you. For Jesus left heaven, came to earth. He died on the cross. He shed his blood to provide the remedy for sin. This morning, The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The woman was bent over. But we hear the prophet crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The woman was bent over. But in verse 16, we see another dimension to the woman's affliction. The Bible tells us in verse 16, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," think of it, "for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath." Not only was the woman bent over, the woman was bound. She was shackled. Something was holding her down, or someone was holding her down. She was in chains. But when Jesus came to the earth, he made his manifesto clear. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised." This morning, you may be bound by your circumstances. You may be bound by the chains of the devil. But the Lion of Judah breaks every chain. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. And if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. Satan may have a hand this morning in your life, but in the name of Jesus, those chains can be shattered and you can find freedom in Jesus Christ. For he has come to set captives free. If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. The Bible also tells us that her condition was even more serious than that. Because there are times when you have problems and you know how to apply the remedy to your problems. But in verse 11, there is a phrase here that puts this woman's problem in its proper perspective. The Bible says, "And could in no way raise herself up." It says to me that the woman was bankrupt. She could in no way raise herself up. She did everything possible, everything she knew to do. She tried every remedy available, but she could in no way raise herself up. You may have been trying for a while to raise yourself up, to lift up your head. But this morning, I want to remind you that he is the lifter of our head. He is our shield and buckler. He is our deliverer. He is our rock, our fortress. And so we can trust in him when it seems like nothing else will work. God is still able to do more than we can ask or think. Last week, Pastor reminds us that we are not to lose our spiritual inheritance. And maybe this morning God has a plan for you to experience your deliverance, your freedom. And he calls on you to take that step of faith and trust him. Invite him into your life, into your situation. Just turn it over to him. And let him heal you and deliver you today. In Hebrews, the word of the Lord says, "The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." May God help us that we, as we hear the word of the Lord today, we mix it with faith so that we may gain profit from the word of the Lord. She was bent over. She was bound. She was bankrupt. She was at the end of her resources. This morning, you may be at the end of your resources. Your personal resources, your finances. You may feel that physically you cannot go any further, but those who wait upon the Lord, my Bible tells me, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we say, God helps those who help themselves. And it almost sounds like scripture. But the gospel is sweeter than that. God has come to help those who cannot help themselves. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So when education fails and medication fails, we have a God who is still able. The seriousness of the woman's condition. This morning you may consider your condition a serious case. And so I refer you to the specialist who deals with serious cases. His name is Jesus. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name, hallelujah, which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm trying to condense it. The second thing I want to bring out from this text is the source of the woman's affliction. Because from this narrative, it seems to me that the condition of being bent over, the condition of being bound, that her bankruptcy were all symptoms of the problem. But what was the source of the woman's affliction? Jesus went straight to the source. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. This woman's condition was precipitated by a spirit of infirmity. There was a deeper spiritual problem behind what met the eyes. And Jesus said, this woman is suffering from a spirit of affliction. You know, there are many spirits gone out into the world, the Bible tells us. And those who don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a spirit of the Antichrist. The Bible speaks in Numbers 5:14 of the spirit of jealousy. Isaiah 61 verse 3, the spirit of heaviness. Acts 19:16, it talks about evil spirit. Acts 16:16, spirit of divination. 1 Timothy 4:1, deceiving spirits. 1 John 4:3, spirit of the Antichrist. But whatever spirit it was, they were subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that describes the teaching of Jesus is that he taught as one having authority. Even the spirits obey him. And so when there was this girl who had the spirit of divination in Acts 16, running behind Paul and saying, these are they who preach the word of God to us. It seemed like they were preaching sound doctrine. But Paul knew that that was not the spirit of God. And he turned around and he rebuked that spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. You see, we cannot negotiate with spirits. We cannot bargain with spirit. But God in Christ has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and overcome the power of the enemy. Jesus even gets a little more specific about the source of the woman's problem. In verse 16, lest we miss it, Jesus says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? Jesus hit the nail on the head. He says, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years. The source of this woman's suffering was that she was in bondage to Satan. The source of this woman's affliction was that she was bound by Satan for 18 years. But I thank God that Jesus Christ came, and the Bible says he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through death he has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth sets people free. The story is told about the little boy who heard at school one day that if you really want to get somebody intimidated, you just say to them, I know the whole truth. So he went home and he said to his mom, Mom, I know the whole truth. The mother said, okay, son, here is $20. Don't tell anybody. When his father came home, he said, Dad, I know the whole truth. He said, son, please don't tell anybody. Here is $40. The following morning, as he went outside, he saw the mailman coming. And he said, sir, I know the whole truth. And the mailman said, okay, give your dad a big hug. But when it comes on to Jesus, there is something about the truth that breaks the power of the lie and destroys the stronghold of the enemy. For the truth that Jesus speaks is liberating. It brings deliverance, it brings hope, it brings new life. For he himself is the way, the truth, and the life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.